Well, hello, Joe. We're on for real.
Excellent. Welcome, Michael. Dr. Michael Wofield, welcome aboard once again for a great call tonight. We have a very hot topic tonight of cancer. Kind of touches home with me. I lost my mom 4/5/06, so it was 4 years ago.
Wow, has it been that long, Joe?
Yeah, liver cancer.
That's amazing.
Isn't it just like yesterday we were talking about it?
Exactly. Yeah, in fact, it seems like yesterday I was talking to her.
Right. And
that is amazing. Yeah, I know my mother died of cancer. My first wife died of cancer. I mean, lots of people know of other people who've died of cancer who are dealing with cancer. You know, it's unfortunately too popular these days.
My wife's mom?
Right.
Lymphoma. My mom had liver cancer, lung cancer. Lymphoma.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have a lot to talk about. It's way too much to talk about within one call tonight, so we're going to touch on a lot of different areas. So.
Right. And before we start, let's remind everybody that we've got a great deal going on this month with Purium, with PHP, with the cherry juice there. I think it's buy two and get one free.
That's right. I placed an order yesterday on my way to Boca.
Cool.
Dave's meeting, which was great. So I gave him a quick plug and mentioned how well he did yesterday. He had a great audience and some really good people out there. So
yeah, if you ever have a chance to see Dave, it's worth seeing. He's very entertaining and he's a good speaker. He does a good job.
Yeah. I ordered four bottles, so I'm going to get two for free, which
I'm
excellent. Really excited about.
Cool. That's a great deal.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing I want to just tell people about, I'm not going to give everything away, but we are going to have a very special call next week. We're probably going to be talking more about the cancer because, like I said, it's a very complex subject, and most of the information is actually simple, but it's going to be so new to most of us that I don't want to overwhelm people so that you have a chance to digest it and that kind of thing. But next week we're going to have a special guest. That's going to be very helpful for a lot of you who have ongoing questions about, you know, how do we really go about, you know, who do we talk to? And, you know, if we want to help somebody else with the kinds of things that we've been helped with, you know, how do we really go about doing that? Is there a secret? And we're going to have somebody on for a few minutes next week who, in fact, he and I are going to make a CD. Hopefully within this month, that's going to be a very, very good tool that people can use for their own use and to share with other people. So you'll have a better idea of just how to talk about some of our simpler products and, you know, and sharing them. Because it's one of the things that we as a company, you know, pride ourselves on is incredibly high quality and very, very reasonable and fair prices. And that's unheard of in the network marketing arena. I think you'll agree with that, Joel. It's
absolutely
it's unheard of, you know, that there's decent products out there that are sold network marketing, but the ones that are decent and the ones that are junky are both outrageously expensive.
Yeah.
And so it's like
people,
what's the deal, you know?
Yeah.
So that sets us apart.
Yeah, we have the best products for the best prices. That's what it comes down to.
So we want to try and help get as many people healthy as possible. That's our goal because, like I said, one of the reasons we want to talk about cancer tonight is because cancer is really epidemic. And sadly, one of the things we have to realize is cancer is big bucks. It's a cash cow for the medical industry. And I'm not going to put down medicine because they have a lot of things to offer, but the reality is that the medical profession today, if you read through their own literature, their literature says that the two prime causes of the majority of cancers, this is amazing that this is medical literature. This isn't new age, what I'm about to tell you. This is fundamental medical literature right from the universities, okay? The medical doctors say that the two underlying causes of cancer in today's world are toxicity and poor nutritional uptake. Now, that's what the medical business is saying. Now, you might think that this sounds like something you'd hear from an alternative doctor, but the fact is this is what medical science is saying. Now, isn't that interesting, Joel, that, you know, it's not a surprise to me, it's not a surprise to you, it's probably not a surprise to a lot of people listening. However, isn't it fascinating that the two main tools that exist for oncologists today, and I think your mother dealt with some of this, I know that my mother did, and I know that my first wife was offered some of this, and it didn't end up doing most of it. She did a little bit of it. But, I mean, there's chemotherapy and there's radiation. These are really the two main tools that are in the toolbox for the oncologist today that are approved cancer treatments. And isn't it interesting that any doctor, any oncologist will tell you that chemotherapy is a very, very toxic substance. I mean, it's not a surprise. The literature, you can pick up any PDR, any drug handbook, and look up some of these chemotherapy drugs, and it will list incredible toxic side effects. And most people are quite aware of them. I mean, you know, people lose their hair, they're nauseous, they lose weight. I mean, it's pretty nasty. And the goal of chemotherapy and the goal of radiation is to do what? It's to kill the cancer cell. It's to attack it. Now, that's an interesting idea, that we're trying to kill the cancer in our bodies. Now, I think you've probably heard that for many years, haven't you, Joel?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the goal, is to kill it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, does that make sense that we should be killing the cancer? I mean, let's just think about that for a second, because I realize you and I haven't talked about this at length. But we did 4 years ago with your mom a little bit, but, you know, not extensively. But, and we've certainly learned a lot more in the last 4 years. But could it be, have you ever thought about the fact of what is cancer doing in our body? I mean, what is your opinion, Joel? In other words, what do you think the purpose of cancer is that occurs in the body, if the medical profession is correct in saying that toxicity and poor nutrition are two of the main culprits for bringing cancer cells, to proliferate? I mean, one thing I think we should make it clear to everyone, and I think you know this, and I think a lot of people who are listening hopefully know this, is every single one of us, if we are alive, living, breathing human being, we have cancer cells in our body all the time. Did you know that, Joel?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, you did, of course. Okay. 100%. Doctors will tell you that.
Yeah.
Every one of us has cancer cells in our body.
It's just when it gets out of control and starts to migrate.
Exactly. Okay, so it gets out of control through toxicity and poor nutrition. Now, when we say it gets out of control, what does that really mean? I mean, what's that mean to you, Joel?
Tumors.
No, but what does it mean to you in terms of get out of control? What does that term mean to you in terms of what is the body doing? In other words, do you think the body has anything to do with allowing that to happen, or is this just something that automatically takes place?
No,
when
the body definitely has something to do with making that happen.
Right, and do you think it could possibly be a positive thing?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware of the fact, and doctors, oncologists will tell you this, very, very few, if any, people have ever died from cancer.
Right.
Cancer doesn't kill people. People die of pneumonia. They die of complications. You know, they die of renal failure. They die of a heart attack. I mean, they die of all sorts of things because a lot of times they mostly die of starvation.
Right.
So has the cancer really killed anybody? Well, Maybe not. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that I have the answers, folks. What I'm saying is there's a lot of unanswered questions that arise when we start to understand what cancer actually is. Okay. Now, let's look at this. If we know for a fact that our body always has cancer cells, because that's a given. Any doctor will tell you that. Okay, there are a certain number of cancer cells that are always in our body. Okay. So in other words, the body has produced those cancer cells for a reason. They're not injuring us. They're not in the way, but they're serving some purpose. Now, I'm not saying I know what the purpose is at this moment, but there's a purpose for everything. I'm a great believer, and I should say this as my own prejudice, as my own belief, is that I strongly believe that there is a higher power, an intelligent higher power, whether you want to call it God or whatever you want to call it. I mean, to me, it's a God. But, you know, but I'm just saying there is an intelligence that has created the order that exists in our world. The chance of random selection is absolutely bizarre. In fact, you know, for many, many, many years, science was divided between two schools of thought. One school was that there's an intelligence, an ultimate intelligence that has created everything. And the other school of thought is everything has simply evolved from random selection, as if throwing a dice. Okay. Now, I think it was about 10 or 12 years ago, a physicist from England, he won a Nobel Prize for this, but it's actually quite interesting. And he came up with the idea that is absolutely mind-boggling. And he refuted the concept that this world has happened by random selection through science and mathematics. He proved this. And what he came up with is the fact that the odds of this earth being created as it is, and the fact that you have similar structures in animals and, you know, the different varieties, you know, animals have lungs, they might breathe differently, but they're similar concepts all down the path. And he said the likelihood numerically of that occurring by chance is 1 in 1 gazillion. In other words, the number of zeros after that 1 is almost infinitesimal. So in other words, the likelihood that this universe, this planet, and our bodies have evolved from just natural selection is virtually impossible. Okay, so in other words, science itself has come up with the fact that there is some intelligent force that has put all this together. So if we accept that as being a decent premise, which I think most people do in today's world, it's interesting to note that the natural conclusion that we'd have to draw is that there's a reason for everything that happens. And we may not understand the reason, but if we start to delve into the different aspects of what's going on, at least we get an idea. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here. And like I said, that we're going to go slowly because this is very, I realize this is quite new for many people who are listening. So pretty much we've already covered the fact that cancer, from a medical standpoint, is viewed as the enemy. It's something that has invaded the body. It's something that we have to destroy and get rid of. So all the conventional treatments that exist, whether it be surgery, whether it be chemotherapy, whether it be radiation, all three of these are designed to remove the cancer from the body. Okay, that's the goal. Now, it's interesting to note that if you talk to a lot of alternative medical doctors who are into herbs, who are into energy medicine, and so on and so forth, they tell you pretty much the same thing. They tell you that cancer is the enemy. But they're not going to treat it with the same toxic substances. They're going to treat it with more benign substances that don't create the side effects, okay? But they're still dealing with it in exactly the same way. Cancer's bad, got to get rid of it, okay? So they're going about it just in a different modality. So we know, if we go back and review what we've already said, we know that medical research says that cancer is caused by toxicity and poor nutrition, okay? So,
do you want to mention, Michael, anything about how stress, the relationship to stress to cancer?
Well, absolutely, because one, I'm glad you brought that up. A couple weeks ago, I think, we actually had an entire call about stress, and stress creates more toxins in the body than eating McDonald's hamburgers.
Wow.
It's awful. And we live in a very stress-filled society today. And like I said, if you want to go back and listen to the call, because I think we had some really good information on that, it is in the archive. Now, you can go to your back office, and it should actually be annotated as we talked about stress. Because stress is a huge concern today, and it's one of the, I'm convinced myself that it's one of the biggest factors in cancer. Because I can tell you from my own personal experience that my first wife, who passed away from cancer, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer before she knew she had any cancer at all. And so she wasn't sick. And she was a yoga teacher. She had a decent diet, but she had a lot of internal stress from the time that she was born because she had a very, very, very difficult childhood growing up. She grew up with seven other children, a mother that definitely didn't want to be a mother. So, I mean, it was a very difficult time. And I'm convinced that the stress that she experienced growing up is what caused her cancer, because it wasn't the diet. And it wasn't the fact that she didn't know how to take care of herself, because like I said, she taught yoga, she did yoga every day, but the stress is that critical, that when it starts at such a young age, if you are diagnosed with cancer, medical science will tell you this too, if you're diagnosed with cancer and you're 40 years old and you're a woman and you are told that you have breast cancer and you're 40 years old, it's likely that that cancer started developing in your breast when you were a teenager. It takes that long. So in other words, we often don't even realize what we are doing to ourselves with stress, with a poor lifestyle, until it's actually, you know, so far advanced that it's a very, very, you know, serious condition. And so I'm really glad you brought that up again, Joel, because that is crucial to understand. So let's go over a couple facts about cancer. People can draw their own conclusions. I'm not saying I know the answers, but I want to at least give you the information. And this again is straight from medical research. This is not the alternative side. This is the medical people, the MDs, the cancer research institutes. Okay. It is a known fact that the immune system in our bodies will do just about the finest job that they can do to protect a cancer cell from being destroyed. Now, that's pretty amazing when you think of it. Now, of course, the medical model wants to go down the road of suggesting that, well, when cancer's in your body, the immune system malfunctions, and that's why it's trying to protect the cancer cell. Okay, you know, I personally don't buy that, but that's what they're saying. Because the research shows that the immune system really isn't malfunctioning. In other words, but it's protecting the cancer cell. This is one of the reasons why these chemotherapy drugs and the radiation therapies have to be so powerful, because they basically, they have to be able to break through the immune system. Because the immune system is going to protect. It's like for those people who are listening who are, you know, football fans, it's like having a very, very good front four lineman protecting the quarterback. You know, and if you've got a really impervious group of folks there, that quarterback can go back into the pocket, as it's called, and he can spend, 7, 8 seconds before he has to throw a pass because he knows he's not going to get tackled because those boys are protecting him. Okay, that's how well the immune system protects a cancer cell. To give you a visual sense of that, if for those of you who ever watched quarterback being protected. Okay, so that's how the immune system works. Okay, now that certainly should make us think that maybe the cancer is not as bad as we might think it is. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, Joel, I'm sure you're aware of this. I think most of the people who are listening are aware of this. Yogurt is considered good food, right?
Yeah.
Sauerkraut?
Yep.
Good food? How about miso? Miso is good food, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do all these foods have in common? Well, basically, they're either fermented or they're,
cultured.
What is the one common denominator that we find in all cultured and fermented foods? Do you have any idea what substance is in all these things?
Tell me.
Lactic acid.
Lactic acid. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we've probably heard that lactic acid is considered the enemy of the athlete because if you're doing a lot of sets or if you're racing, when you hit the wall, what you're actually hitting is you're getting to a point where the lactic acid buildup in the muscle is so high that the muscle starts to atrophy. In other words, it starts to wear out. It can't continue pushing, and you have to push through that. Okay? So athletes have been told that when they hit this wall, their level of lactic acid is out of sight. It's very, very high. And so they figure lactic acid's the enemy. But that lactic acid that's in that muscle at that time is exactly the same lactic acid that you find in cultured and fermented food. Exactly the same. And yet, when it's in fermented food and cultured food, it's considered good. And now, all of a sudden, it's in your muscle and it's considered bad? Is there something wrong with this picture? Okay. Now, it's a known fact that an athlete who does a lot of long-distance running, if they load up on chlorophyll-rich food and they drink, like, 3 to 4 servings of, say, barley juice or a Kamut blend before they go out and run, you know, not all at once, obviously, because they'll have too much liquid in their stomach. But, I mean, if they put 3 or 4 servings of a green juice into their stomach, into their body, prior to doing some heavy-duty exercise, invariably, these people will all tell you that they go a lot farther and they can do more sets before they hit the wall. Now, isn't that interesting? So what does that tell you, Joel?
Well, we don't know as much as we think we know.
I like the way you think. Exactly. We don't know as much as we think we know. So the reality is what is the lactic acid doing in the muscle? What do you know what the lactic acid is doing in the sauerkraut?
It almost sounds like it's protecting it.
It's not only protecting it. Right, it is protecting it, and it also helps to keep the bad stuff out.
Right.
All right. So when you get a high level this is just using good old reasoning. I think it's called deductive reasoning or maybe inductive. I'm not sure which it is, but I mean it's one of those types.
Probably seductive, but go ahead.
I think so. Okay. So if we know that lactic acid is going to occur in an athlete after a lot of exercise, and if we know that if that same athlete does just as much exercise and does a bunch of green juice before the exercise, he doesn't get as much lactic acid. So we know that. That's given. So it tells me that the green juice is providing something that the lactic acid would normally provide.
Right.
Because otherwise, the lactic acid would still be there. So in other words, the lactic acid is not necessarily a bad thing that's causing the muscle to tire. Maybe the lactic acid is going there for the purpose of doing something that's positive.
Yeah.
And in fact, what the lactic acid is doing in that muscle, it's cleaning out the excess nitrogen, uric acid, and the byproducts of exertion. So in other words, if you get enough lactic acid to flush out those toxins when you hit that wall, and the lactic acid actually does the work and cleans out those toxins, guess what? It's not that you're having a second wind, which you are. You're having a second wind. But that second wind is actually nothing more than the muscles being relieved of the toxicity that they had, which is what the chlorophyll does. So if you have the chlorophyll in your system before you exercise, the lactic acid is not needed to do that kind of work. Pretty simple. So I think we can surmise that lactic acid's a good thing, wouldn't you say?
I would say so.
Yeah. We know lactic acid's a good thing when it's in yogurt. We know it's a great thing when it's in sauerkraut and miso and, you know, fermented foods. So now we understand that it's actually a good thing for athletes, that it actually helps them. It doesn't hurt their performance. So lactic acid is a very powerful cleanser and oxygenator. That's what it does. It brings oxygen into the cell, and it flushes out toxins. That's what lactic acid does. Now, based on that, you want to take a guess, Joel, what every single cancer cell makes in large quantities?
Trying to set me up.
I am. What do you think cancer cells make in large quantities?
Lactic acid.
Exactly. Cancer cells are lactic acid machines. Medical science knows this.
Right.
Now, of course, you got to realize that the medical science community wants to tell us that lactic acid is bad. Now, what's fascinating about this pronouncement of theirs is they will tell you that the lactic acid that the cancer cell is producing, they're going to call that bad. But at the same time, they're going to tell you that the lactic acid that's in yogurt and the lactic acid that's in sauerkraut is good. And they're also going to tell you that chemically, the lactic acid in the sauerkraut and the yogurt is identical to the lactic acid that the cancer cell is producing.
If Dave was on this call, he would probably start talking about the half-truth.
Right. It's not necessarily half-truth. What it is, it's convoluted thinking.
Yeah.
And here's why it's convoluted thinking. Because, you see, you know, you've probably heard, I'm sure most people have heard this. Many, many studies have been done by psychologists where they take a scene of a crime and they show six different people the scene of the crime. And they're all looking at it from a different perspective. I mean, they're seeing exactly the same thing, but they're not next to each other to talk to each other, okay? They're watching the same exact situation from their perspective. And at the end of watching this, all six of them are asked to write down exactly what they saw. And in every time they've ever done this experiment, they get six answers as if those people were watching six different things rather than the same thing. Okay.
Isn't that
so,
something?
Yeah, so it shows you how our, in other words, we have a lot of confidence and a lot of faith in our thinking and in our ability to understand and reason. Well, we don't. You know, our perception of what we see in the world, what we hear, and what we think is very colored by our past teaching. But in other words, what we come into a situation with, what the knowledge we come in with, has a definite effect on how we interpret what we see. Now, I don't want to get into a religious conversation here, but I would wage to say that, you know, and I'm not putting judgment on this, but it's interesting that you have Christians, Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons who basically all acknowledge the same book. They acknowledge the New Testament and the Old Testament, okay? And yet they have come away with completely different ways of interpreting that information, and they're willing to die for it. Each one of those groups is willing to die for what they believe using the same book. Now, there's no difference in that in the people who have watched something happen and then they report it differently. So in other words, we don't necessarily have everything figured out. And it behooves us to sit and carefully look at the evidence before we make a judgment. That's what it really is about. And that's what we're talking about here. Is I'm not saying I've got the answers. What I'm saying is that there are questions that have been very poorly answered for the sake of people keeping their own theories intact. And that's a problem. You know, we're very protective about our beliefs. And when you have the medical profession that and many, many people who believe that cancer is the enemy, then obviously you are going to then interpret the information that you get in such a way that that becomes negative information if it in fact has created the cancer. Do you see what I'm saying?
Pretty intense.
It's pretty intense, yeah. And I'm not asking everyone here to lock, stock, and believe what I'm saying. What I'm asking people to do is carefully listen to the information, not only about this, but about anything you hear, and really look at the facts carefully before you make a judgment. Because a lot of times, we are making determinations through our own perceptions and our own perception. You know, in other words, our own baggage, our own beliefs, our own indoctrination. You know, our own backgrounds, and that colors things dramatically, and so that can be a real problem. Now, I'll share with you an interesting fact about cancer. Is there are, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, Joel, there are places called Hippocrates Institute. There's one in Florida, in West Palm Beach, and there's one in the Boston area, and there's a couple places called Optimum Health Institute. One's in San Diego, one's in Austin, Texas. And basically, they're all four of these places are based on the research and the study by Ann Wigmore, who is sort of the mother of wheatgrass therapy. I mean, she's the one who Dave originally worked with her and learned a lot about the value of wheatgrass juice. In fact, when she sends people home, of course, she's passed away now, but when she used to send people home after they had stayed at Hippocrates for 2 weeks or a month or whatever, she sent them home with green kamut because she said that is the best thing for people that aren't going to be able to grow wheatgrass in a proper way, because the way it's grown in shallow trays doesn't work. It doesn't give you a quality nutritional product. Okay, but there are many, many people who have been told by their oncologist that, I'm sorry, Charlie, there's nothing more that we can do for you. We've tried all the medical treatments. I've used every trick that I have in my medical bag. I hate to tell you this, Charlie, but it looks like you're going to die. Now, of course, we all know we're going to die someday, but, you know, most of us don't want to die that soon, and especially when someone tells us like that. And there are many of these people who have been given the death warrant by their doctor saying there's nothing more we can do for you. You know, we've polluted your body. You know, we've tried the chemotherapy. We've done all the experimental things we can, and nothing's working, and you're just getting worse because those things all weaken you, and the doctors know they weaken you, okay? So many of these people, I know one in particular who I've talked to a couple times. He was told this, and he said, I just don't think it's my time to die. And he started doing his own research and found out about Optimum Health Institute in Austin. And he actually went there and spent 3 months there. Now, he was told he was going to die. He had stage 4 cancer. It was in his liver. It was in his pancreas. It was in his bones. He was not looking good, okay? But he went there, and he started doing wheatgrass therapy, raw foods, fermented foods, eating lots of foods with lots of lactic acid, lots of wheatgrass, all the, you know, in other words, fresh, real food, fermented foods, and fresh foods. And after 6 months, he walked out of the place cancer-free. Now, when he went back to his doctor, the doctor said, well, maybe we misdiagnosed you. We must have missed something. You know, I mean, and the guy said, you didn't misdiagnose me. Look at your own records. I had cancer here. I had cancer there. You told me I was going to die. I didn't die. Okay? Sadly, that's a form of human nature that's, you know, we don't want to be wrong. It's better that, you know, we'd rather see someone walk in dead, you know. But, I mean, the fact is this happens many times. So what's happening here? I mean, all the guy's doing is going down, and basically they'll put wheatgrass in every hole of your body. Okay, you're going to drink it. You're going to do wheatgrass enemas. I mean, they put wheatgrass everywhere in your body. You're given lots of fermented foods, lots of raw juices, and that's all you live on as long as you're there. And people walk out cancer-free. They also do a lot of emotional, you know, and spiritual, you know, healing, because a lot of these people have a lot of issues, and they do a lot of counseling, and they really work on things. But the point is these people all walk out of these places without cancer after they've been given the death wish, the death warrant. I shouldn't say the wish, you know. So, I mean, this indicates, folks, that there's something going on that we're missing. And this isn't a fluke, okay? You see, one of the things that happens in human nature is that when we have a model, and the model says this is what happens. In other words, you get cancer, you do these treatments, either you go into remission or you die, okay? Those are usually the two variables that happen. And so when somebody has a quote-unquote miraculous experience, whether they go to Optimum Health or they do something else, you know, I mean, some people have healed themselves just with their mind. I mean, if they really have powerful minds, they can do that. But we as human beings, and doctors are just human beings, this is very threatening to our belief system, because we're now faced with conflicting information. In other words, as a doctor, can I continue believing what I believed if I have this person in front of me who's defied what my belief is? That becomes a problem for a human being. And unless you have the ability to get out of your own ego and step aside and say, wait a second, what's going on here? You know, I don't need to be threatened here. I really want to understand. Okay? But most people can't always do that. I mean, I don't always do that. I mean, basically, we have the instincts that, you know, for self-preservation. That's part of it. And so it just shows that there's a lot to think about. When someone tells you you have cancer, and a lot of people are finding out that they have cancer these days, and this is one of the reasons why we're bringing this up in a call, because I am talking to more and more people every week who are being diagnosed with some form of cancer. And we need to understand what we're actually dealing with. So, like I said, we're not here to try and solve this in one call, because I'll be the first to admit it's a lot of information that's new. It's not really a lot of information, but it's all new to most of us. I know it was certainly new to me when it was first presented and I first started reading about it. My wife, Nora, who many of you have had the pleasure of meeting, I call her the super investigator. You know, she's the super scooper. She can find information that's out there. And what's fascinating is everything I've told you tonight, Joel, and we've talked about, is all in medical research. You know, it's all in the literature. In other words, this isn't from a New Age journal. This is the medical society's own take on the facts. It's just that they're interpreting the facts differently, and that's where the problem comes in. So, you know, do you think we've covered enough, confused people enough, or at least given people enough food for thought? Or,
oh yeah, they're gonna have to listen to this one a few times.
Yeah,
I recommend if they have an iPod, just download it onto their iPod. But if you want to put a cap on it and just basically maybe mention a few things on what maybe people can look to Right.
Let's talk about the idea of prevention right now, if that's what we want to do. Okay. If we know, as I've said before, that I'm glad you mentioned this, Joel. If we know, as we've mentioned, that the two underlying causes of cancer are toxicity and poor nutritional uptake, let's keep in mind that we've already really covered the issue of stress. Stress creates toxins. It's that simple. And so it's important that when you're under stress, which we all are today because it's a stressful world, we have stressful jobs, we have stressful careers, so on and so forth. When you're under stress, you need to increase your nutritional content at least fivefold over what you would normally do, which means you want high nutrition, super dense nutritional superfoods that are low in calorie. So you can consume a lot of nutrients without burdening your body with empty calories. So that's where PHP comes in great, because we have products like More Greens and Power Shake, the cherry juice, which is phenomenal as a product that can be used to help, you know, with cancer, keeping cancer away, because it's a very good detoxifier. That's why it's so good for gout, because it actually helps to flush out uric acid that causes gout, okay? And so these acids are also the kinds of acids that can build up that can cause cells to malfunction, which would then possibly mean that a cancer cell would form, okay? That's another way. We haven't really gone that way yet, but, I mean, the point is that detoxification is what we need to be doing on an everyday basis. So the cherry juice is good for that. Of course, the ionic minerals are great for detoxifying. The fulvic zeolite is great for detoxifying. Chlorella is a phenomenal, one of the best whole food detoxifiers on the planet. Any of our green drinks are great detoxifiers. Vitamin C is a wonderful detoxifier. And like we've talked about before, if you deal with a lot of stress, consider using the American ginseng, consider using the B Energetic, because they can both aid you in being adaptogens to help modulate stress. And by doing those things and staying away from the processed foods, the white flour, the white sugar, you know, the garbage, the standard American diet, staying away from the standard American diet and reversing the flow. The standard American diet, simply put, is high empty calorie content with low nutritional availability. So in other words, if you're on a standard American diet, you've automatically created one of the causes of cancer, poor nutritional uptake. If there's nothing to uptake, the cells don't have anything, they're starving, and they're going to break down. Okay, that's what's happening. So the standard American diet will not help prevent cancer. It probably causes cancer. Okay? I said probably, because it's so devoid of nutrients. So obviously we want a diet that's high in nutrients and low in calories. So that's the starting point of dealing with that. And obviously working on stress, working on being grateful, looking on the bright side of things, I strongly recommend don't watch the news on television. If you're going to listen to the news on the radio, just listen to the highlights once an hour or once every day. I mean, everything gets repeated. If you listen to the news even once every 3 or 4 days, you're probably going to be pretty up to date in terms of what's going on, because they just rehash the same stories over and over again. And it is good to know when an earthquake happens and things like this. But, you know, stay away from the negative, constant barrage of negative information that the media feeds us. That's a real good thing to do, and many, many people will talk about that. So I think that's a good thing, way to leave us in terms of positive, proactive things that we can do. Watch your stress. Use good products to modulate your stress, like the American ginseng, like Be Energetic. The Master Aminos are very good for people dealing with stress, because it's a clean-burning protein. But uptake your green products, you know, uptake your nutritionally rich superfoods, so that you saturate your cells with nutrients that they can use so that they can maintain their own homeostasis and their own health. And that's crucial. And you do that, watch your stress, there's no reason you can't remain cancer-free for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, sounds like wonderful, wonderful information, Michael. Do you want to touch at all on positive affirmations? Like talking about
how positive affirmations are also very, very positive.
Something you want to maybe add into your spiritual diet?
Yep, that's a great thing to do. You know, one of the things that you find people, and I mean, I talk to people all the time that will tell me that they have a very strong faith, whether they're Jewish or Christian or whatever they might be, and yet they have a negative self-image, you know, or they have a negative concept about what's going to happen to them.
Right.
And in other words, it's like you've got to connect the dots. If your spiritual life is separate from your life, it's not, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Our emotional life, our spiritual life, our mental life is part of our life. And it has to be incorporated into our everyday situation. So affirmations are a very beneficial thing to do, to affirm what you know to be true, what you want to be true. You know,
yeah, do you want to give a couple of examples? Do you want to
Well, you can say one that I love is my body's cells are made of light, my fleshly cells are made of thee. They are perfect, I am perfect. They are immortal, for they are life. I mean, that's a good. You can just say I am filled with cosmic light. You know,
right.
You can just visualize that the light of God is flowing through you. I mean, anything that you can do to put your mind in a positive state is absolutely phenomenal.
I'll tell you, you know which one I love? Really simple. I mean, everyone's going to remember this one.
Yep.
I am healthy and happy.
That's a great one. I'm healthy and happy.
You know? How about my body is healthy and functioning in a very good way?
Yep. Another one that's really good, especially for those who have a stressful life, a stressful job, is to constantly say, I am peaceful.
Yeah. How about I am surrounded by love?
I'm surrounded by love. I'm peaceful. You know, things that you want to be and that you know you are, affirm them and you will become. You will become what you think.
Right. That's the point I was getting to.
Yep.
Great. On that note, we're a little bit past the time, Mike.
We are, and we'll see you next week, and we'll talk a little bit more like this, and I said hopefully we'll have our special guest on, too, to have some interesting things.
Mr. Bob Page, very
Mr.
excited
Bob
about
Page,
that.
Yep.
Yeah. And on that note, let's be healthy, happy, strong,
and
what
positive.
Else, Michael? That's it.
Positive. Keep
positive.
Good thoughts in your head, and keep put signs in front of your, you know, put signs on your mirror, on your phone, in your car, to remind you what you want to think.
Yeah.
Perfect idea. I am healthy, I'm happy. That's a great one to put everywhere.
Just say it every day, every time.
Yep. And like I said, if you find you're in a stressful situation, make a sign that says, I am a peaceful person. It's phenomenal.
I love it.
It's like it becomes a contradiction. Say, wait, I'm a peaceful person. Why am I acting like this? And you start being more peaceful.
That's true. This
it's
is
cool.
So true. Thank you, Michael. Once again, Doc, you are the
Thank
best.
Thank you, Joel.
Great, great call. We'll see you same time next week.
Same place.
That's it. Be happy.
Be healthy.
Happy, healthy, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. God bless all. Bye-bye.
Good night.